Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Welcome, welcome to another episode of Punt Intended, a Fantasy NBA Dynasty podcast. I'm your host, Rhett Bauer, joined as always by my co-host, Travis, who did not have a good night last night as a Chicago Bulls fan.
No, you can definitely say that again. Look, we knew going in that there was a pretty strong chance the Bulls weren't going to have a first-round pick, but you never know. There's always that hope. There's that Derrick Rose slimmer of hope that the Bulls might just get lucky again. But alas, they did not. It is okay. We'll just have to get into this article because I do love the draft process. It's one of my favorite parts of the offseason is just getting to know all these rookies coming into the league, kind of diving in, preparing for our dynasty drafts. And I like to prepare now. I like to kind of gear up and get ready to go and look at where these teams are located. Potential picks. I think I look at 3 mock drafts every day. I Google NBA mock drafts when I'm at work, and I look at the most updated ones.
Man, you are just exposing yourself at what you do at work. That's 2 in a row. You got to be, man, I don't affiliate with this guy at all. But in case you can't tell, we are talking about the lottery results from the other night. And I think that for the most part, it was a pretty good lottery. You know, nothing too crazy happened. Detroit got gifted the first overall pick, got gifted Cade Cunningham, or maybe not. And, you know, just a lot of things happened. So, first things first, Detroit did win the lottery. They did get number one overall. Their GM, Troy Weaver, has been doing his due diligence lately, making sure that the league knows they're not guaranteed to take Cade Cunningham, but they're going to take Cade Cunningham.
Just a big old smokescreen that he's throwing out there. I think he's looking for maybe just a massive overpay for the number one pick. But even still, they're a team that needs talent. Cade is the most talented player in the draft, and they're going to take him. So don't be thrown off by what he's throwing out there to the media.
But also, if you're a Killian Hayes owner, also don't be thrown off, because I see a future where they can play together pretty easily. His dynasty outlook does take a little bit of a hit because the assist potential that he had was one of the biggest selling points. And that's obviously going to go down because playing next to Cade, just naturally, that's another ball handler. It's going to go down. But that's not the only thing that Killian was going to contribute to in regards to fantasy. He was going to be decent rebounds, pretty good steals, good defensive numbers, decent free throw percentage. And so, specifically for Killian Hayes, who I think is impacted by them winning the lottery more than any other player on the Pistons that matters, I am not worried about this.
So I kind of disagree with you there. I would be a little bit concerned if I'm an Hayes owner, not just because of the season he had last year. I mean, look, he was injured. He was adjusting to the NBA. I cut him a ton of slack for the season that he had. But if Cade is what they say he is, he's going to demand the ball in his hands on offense. And the big thing with Hayes is his vision, his ability to pass, and that assist steal combo that he can bring to the table. So if he's not getting those big time assist numbers, I'm really concerned with how Hayes is going to fit long term. I do eventually foresee a trade. I think Hayes might get traded within the future. Now, I'm not saying next year they're just going to get rid of him. I think they're going to maybe build his value up a little bit. I can see them coexisting because Cade is kind of a combo guard, but I just think if he's a, as good a player as they say, he's going to demand the ball, and Hayes is going to be a second thought.
Now, I moving shouldn't on, say I'm not worried. because
I think that was the first thing I texted you was, as soon as Detroit won, like, all I said was, uh-oh.
Yeah, and just, I own Killian Hayes. And so it's not great. This is not good. Because there's an argument where if they get four and they draft Jalen Suggs, it's like, okay, Suggs can play off ball, and then you got Killian Hayes as primary. Jalen Green, they don't play the same position. Jonathan Kuminga, Evan Mobley, blah, 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 down the list. Cade will definitely take the ball from Killian, and that definitely changes what he can be. But at this point, if you're a Killian Hayes owner, you just kind of have to take it and see what happens, because I don't think Killian's value could be any lower.
Absolutely. Do not go out there and sell Killian Hayes for, I mean, basically anything you paid for him last year. I would, if I, unless I'm getting value that I did last year, which is probably somewhere in that 4 to 6 first round pick range.
Yeah.
Or a solid player if you're a competing team, you got to hold them, right? You got to see how they coexist. You got to, for one, make sure Detroit drafts Cade, but we pretty much know that's going to happen, but you definitely got to see how they coexist in that offense. There is a chance that maybe Hayes is the de facto point guard and Cade's going to play a little bit off the ball, or maybe it's kind of like a Garland Sexton combo in the backcourt where both guys can handle the ball.
A little bit better defensively, but
sure. A little bigger too, but yeah, well, maybe there's something like that where both guys can kind of handle the ball. Both guys can run the offense, have their sets. So, hold Hayes. His value is super low right now based on what he did last year, but the upside is there for him. And if nothing else, if Cade becomes the player that he can be and the potential that they're saying he has, I foresee Hayes getting traded at some point if that happens, which is going to help his value overall anyway.
I understand, but the league is built right now to where you have to have multiple ball handlers. And I think in that regard, it makes sense to have Hayes and Cunningham on the same team, even if it does mean not maximizing what Hayes can be. But there's a situation where they have one of them on the floor at all times, and each of them is the primary point guard in that 17 minutes a game where they play by themselves, and then the other 10 minutes a game, 15 minutes a game, whatever, they're playing with each other to open and close games. That's when you'll see some value hit. But it doesn't really matter because you're not going to be able to get very much for Killian Hayes right now anyways.
And look, he played 26 games last year. So yeah. we're no speculating idea. Here. We that, really don't know what,
no idea.
We don't really don't know what kind of player he's going to be. He could next year come out and shoot and make 2 threes a game next year. We just don't know. So you do have to hold him. If you're looking to if you're a little bit scared or want to try and get off of him, good luck. I don't think you're going to get a ton of value back for him for what you paid for him last year, like I said. So definitely just hold him. Now, a player that I think definitely is a winner with Detroit getting the number one overall pick is Isaiah Stewart.
Yes.
In a lot of mocks, we saw Detroit being in that two hole and them taking Mobley.
We talked about it in our Too Hot article, in our discussion.
And we did, yep. And Stewart being one of those players that I thought was going to be a career backup. Maybe I still think that, right? Long term, I definitely am not going to change my thought on that. But for a short term,
next year
he's going to be very useful. So if I was maybe writing an article on players that you should sell now, sell high, he would be near the top of my list.
Yep. But that's not the only big that got impacted because of the way this draft lottery worked out. And that transitions us into the number two overall pick in the Houston Rockets. And the big that I'm referencing is Christian Wood. It seems like the Rockets will probably take either Evan Mobley or Jalen Green at number two. That's my personal opinion. A lot of draft guys talking about it. It doesn't seem as clear cut about Mobley over Green like it may have a couple weeks ago, maybe even a couple days ago. But if Houston does take Evan Mobley, what do you think that does to Christian Wood's dynasty outlook?
Well, I think it hurts him. I do wonder how they can coexist with the way that the current NBA is designed. And I don't know if they're going to be able to play on the floor. I mean, you look at your beloved Pacers.
Let me tell you about some teams that play some bigs.
I saw you just smiling over there, and I knew exactly what you were thinking. It just doesn't work, right? In today's
No, it does
NBA,
not.
it just does not work. So there is some concern there if they end up taking Mobley. Now, that is not a foregone conclusion. I can
No.
absolutely see them taking Jalen Green. I can see them taking Suggs. There's a lot of options that they have there. So if it is Mobley, I would be a little bit concerned for Wood. I don't know how they're going to coexist. Now, the big thing with Mobley is he's very versatile. He can shoot from the outside. But I don't feel that they would waste him as at the four spot when they can run him at the five with that versatility and put in a better shooter at the power forward position. So there is a little bit of concern there, but we really don't know what the Pistons are going to do. It's all speculation. So everybody's pretty much a hold at this point.
That's the thing with teams that have high draft picks that also have older players currently on the roster that may be at the same position as that draft pick. There's certain situations I'm sure we're going to get into where those drafted players are going to have to buy their time. They're going to sit on the bench. They're going to develop in a smaller role. But that's not the case with the Houston Rockets. If they draft Evan Mobley, they should be playing Evan Mobley. Like that's what should be happening. And it might come at the expense of Christian Wood. And I've even seen some people talking about they would look to trade Christian Wood to a contender to open up that spot because the Rockets don't want to win games. They're going to be out there trying to make the most of their number two overall pick. And if that's Evan Mobley, it will be interesting to see what that means for Christian Wood. I think there is a chance they can play together because both of them are kind of yes and no. Both of them are kind of slight, so they can maybe do some stuff on the perimeter, but I promise you that it's not a long-term solution as a Pacers fan. I promise you it's not going to work. You can squint your eyes and think that they're AD and Boogie Cousins. That's not what the league is. That's not who your players are. But if they do take Jalen Green, is there anybody on the roster who gets significantly impacted?
With Jalen Green, there are, I mean, immediately the first guy that comes to mind is everybody's kind of favorite young up-and-comer guy, and that's Kevin Porter Jr., KPJ.
Yeah.
Me and you, we really aren't big fans of him.
No,
So
sorry.
I'm not gonna get into that discussion. That's gonna take a whole nother episode in itself with the KPJ love. But I really think he would be influenced if they take Jalen Green or even Suggs. I think either one of
Yeah.
those, he's gonna get influenced there with his playing time. Now you can say, well, no, it's gonna be John Wall. They're going to bench John Wall and they're going to play KPJ and the rookie. But I don't see them paying John Wall $40 million to just sit him all year. He's going to be on the court when he is healthy. And that means that it's going to be a battle for minutes between KPJ and the guard if they end up taking a guard.
KPJ is absolutely negatively affected if they end up taking somebody other than Mobley. And the reason that is Kevin Porter Jr.'s success last year with fantasy, if you can even call it that, I'm going to look up where he finished and keep talking. Kevin Porter Jr. was very volume driven. And by that, I mean he had as much opportunity as he could handle. And I think that that matters a lot when you're talking about bad teams. And I think we talked about it again to keep harping on past episodes, but we talked about it. There's opportunity that players get that on bad teams that they just don't get on good teams. And as soon as they start getting high up in the lottery, they start drafting top prospects, that opportunity goes away. And I think that that could be a situation with Kevin Porter Jr. So the success Kevin Porter Jr. had last year put him at 242nd in nine cat in 32 minutes a game. Terrible percentages. His fantasy game is not friendly unless you are in a very specific build and it is very volume driven. So I would have already been trying to sell Kevin Porter Jr., but now I think it would be interesting to see what you could get for him with the threat of a Jalen Green draft pick by the Houston Rockets at number two.
I agree. And I don't want to get into too much numbers just because we don't know. But as you mentioned, KPJ, his percentages are low. His turnovers are high. And he's got character issues, we know. And that's kind of scary for a player at his young of an age to be having that as well for teams. So, and the Rockets, like you mentioned, are going to be in that top five for, it seems like, maybe the next 3-4 years. Unless they start hitting on some players within the next couple years. But yeah, those two players, I'd be on the lookout to not really trade. Again, we don't really know who they're going to take, but those players will be influenced, and that's for certain.
Absolutely. What's not for certain is who the Cleveland Cavaliers might take at three. And it obviously depends on who goes one and two. As you get further down the draft, the options go way up. But it seems like at number three, the Cavs will take whoever the Houston Rockets don't in Jalen Green and Evan Mobley. And that drastically changes some players' value if they stay on the Cavs.
Yes, we can definitely see some big changes coming to Cleveland with them being one of the luckier teams bumping up to that third spot. And I've really liked what Cleveland has done the past couple of years. They've hit on a lot of their picks. Sexton looks like a decent player. At least nothing else, he's a good scorer. Garland looked really good last year, made a lot of improvements. Okoro, you saw the potential in him to be a two-way player if he can improve his shooting and kind of make just overall improvements that most rookies do. I really like their roster and what they currently have, and then having the third pick to build on that, I think, is great. So let's kind of dive into the two options that we have. And it's very similar to Houston. You know, if Cleveland takes Mobley,
it's worse than Houston. As far as fantasy value goes,
it's probably worse
than Houston.
You're right. If they end up taking Mobley, then the question becomes, are they going to re-sign Jared Allen? And that's a big question, because with Jared Allen being a restricted free agent this year, are you going to want to commit that much money to a center when you have a guy in Mobley who, by all accounts, coming into the league might even be better right away?
Jared Allen's pretty good, but they have a reason to want to play Mobley because his ceiling is a lot higher.
And for what he's going to cost compared to the offer sheet that Jared Allen could potentially sign with another team, yeah, and having to match that, you obviously have to weigh the two. And for me, I see them letting Jared Allen go. And I don't like that. Anytime there's a center on the market, I always get a little bit nervous, especially a young guy like Jared Allen, who maybe a lot of people or a lot of teams either traded for or invested heavily in a startup draft. It makes me nervous when they're on the market.
And it's funny because we've talked in the past about guys like Jared Allen, Rashawn Holmes, Montrezl Harrell, guys that are on the market this summer and what that could mean positively or negatively for their value. And I feel like there's a situation where Allen retains a lot of the value people probably felt he had this year, even if he goes somewhere else, because if he is a free agent and he gets paid, then obviously that's good because they cared enough to pay him. Jared Allen was the 85th overall player in 9-cat, despite not really contributing to threes, steals, or free throw percentage. And I'm sure in a punt threes and field throw free throw percentage, he was just top 25. But if they have a chance to draft Evan Mobley, if Jalen Green is gone, I think they have to take him. And that just means they have to do something with Jared Allen. And that's just a little bit, I agree with you that a big going on the market just isn't great right now because of how devalued centers seem to be. But at the same time, Jared Allen is only 23 years old. So he has some time. If you're Jared Allen holder, you're probably just got to wait it out. I don't think there's any moves you can make right now unless somebody blows you away.
Yeah, absolutely not. And again, I'm going to keep stressing on this. I'm going to keep harping on this. We really have no clue what's going to happen.
Nope.
We don't know who especially Cleveland, they're just going to take whoever kind of falls to them. If they end up keeping that pick, they may trade it. Who knows? So you got to hold all these players that we're discussing. We just kind of like to imagine and maybe even forecast what potentially could happen. So, and Jared Allen is one of those guys that would be affected if Mobley goes there. And the other guy that I do want to mention and let Rhett talk about a little bit more too is what happens if Jalen Green is taken third. Probably maybe the, I would say more the likelier of the two options to happen is Green falling to third.
I agree. Sexton's probably being traded. And the reason, and it's not just about fit, because we've talked about it before, multiple ball handlers, multiple shot creators. You just can't have too much of that in the league right now, especially as the league goes smaller. And I think Jalen Green's like 6'5", so he could play the three next to Garland and Sexton if they wanted to. They have Okoro, who's also 6'6", so that's a really small group. But there's you could see something like that happening. But if I'm the Cavs and I draft Jalen Green, I am trying to trade Colin Sexton before he hits restricted free agency and tries to get a contract north of $20 million, because I personally don't see Colin Sexton as anything other than a scorer. He's been efficient at that. It's been great, but for what he does, I just think it's somewhat replaceable. And I think that he has a much bigger name and the expectation of what he does for fantasy doesn't quite line up with what he actually does for fantasy. And what he actually does for fantasy is finishes just around the top 100, only contributing positively to points, barely assists with just a little bit over 4, which is a career high for him, and then just barely free throw percentage as well. So if they get Jalen Green, I would look to see Colin Sexton on the move. I'm not sure what that would do for his fantasy value either, because presumably a team trading for him wants him. Complete speculation, but something to watch for sure.
And he's a player a lot of teams could use. So I could see him getting traded and his value staying the exact same.
I doubt they would use him as a starting point guard getting, what did he get this year? 35 minutes a game.
Yeah. He got a ton of minutes in that team. And honestly, this is just my personal opinion, but the Cavs would be better off breaking them two up. As we mentioned before, on the defensive end, they're just such a big liability to have both Garland and
Sexton. Oh no, they're not a big liability because they're very, very small. But they are a big liability. Yeah, I just don't. There's just no decisions to be made right now with that. But I think Cleveland is probably in it. They're in a really good spot because one of Mobley or Green, if they get Mobley, that means they don't have to pay Jared Allen $20 to $25 million a year. If they get Green, that means they can pay Allen if they want to, and it means that they likely don't have to pay Sexton $20 to $25 million a year next year. So, you got anything else?
Yeah, just overall good things. If you're a Cleveland fan, you really have to be liking the direction this team is heading in.
Huge. And the last team to jump up into the lottery, the Toronto/Tampa Bay Raptors, who were the biggest movers of the draft, jumping up from 7 to 4, 3 spots. Cleveland jumped from 5 to 3 and is just 2. So Toronto at 4, they're just happy to be there. That's pretty much all that is. It's supposed to be a 5-person draft, but it's starting to dwindle down more to 4, cutting off Jonathan Kuminga. But what do you think Toronto does at the 4 spot?
So I think Toronto would be ecstatic to get any of the 3 players that we've mentioned fall to them. If that just does so happen, they're kind of in a position to just take the best player available, right? As a team, they could use a big. They've really needed a center for a while now. They've been putting Siakam at the 5 for some games. That's how bad they've really needed an effective 5.
Chris Boucher is not a starting center. Is not a 32 minute a game center in this league.
No, not at all. And he's a great fantasy player. Love his fantasy game. I wish he would get those 30 minutes per game, but when you watch him, he is a guy that just is more of a kind of like a Montrezl Harrell, just come off the bench, bring that energy. But so I think Toronto's in a situation where they can really just sit back, see who falls to them, and really take any position that they want, because every team could use more wings. They can definitely use a center.
Yep.
And as we've kind of prefaced before, Kyle Lowry is going to be gone more than likely. I think there's,
especially with this jump up,
a high percentage that they're not going to pay Lowry the $25 to $30 million a year that he's going to command elsewhere. So now they can be in the market for a point guard as well. So they're just in a great spot. And I think the guy that they end up getting is Jalen Suggs. That's kind of the consensus in the mocks that I've seen. They'd be, like I said, they'd be ecstatic for any of the three guys that we've talked about previously to fall to them. If not, I think they got to be thrilled to take Jalen Suggs as well.
The thing with Toronto is there isn't a high impact fantasy player that could see their value drop significantly. Malachi Flynn is probably the one who's impacted the most by a Jalen Green or Jalen Suggs or Jalen Green, I guess, draft pick. But like Christian Wood goes from a 60th overall player to maybe top 80 if he loses a couple minutes a game. Malachi Flynn was on like very deep radars, but not a staple in any team. So if you roster any Toronto players, you shouldn't have been worried about what the lottery was going to do to your player's value moving forward because of how solid that team's core is and how secure all of them are in their roles with Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, and OG Anunoby. It's the other two positions on either end, the point guard / shooting guard, depending on what you want to call Fred VanVleet, and then the big that were really up in the air. And now I think there's a chance that Evan Mobley makes it to four. Some people are talking about him like he's the second player in the draft, but I just think bigs, they're just not as value. And if you're Houston and you take Jalen Green, okay. And if you're Cleveland and you're looking at it, you're like, man, we really like Jared Allen and we kind of want to get off Sexton anyways. So let's just take Jalen Suggs. He's a winner. You can see that.
We might even know that before the draft. I mean, I could see a Sexton trade getting done next week. So you just never know. We could know before the draft. If we see Sexton moved, we know what Cleveland's going to do.
Or Cleveland could trade back. Toronto could trade back. There's so many options for these teams, especially Cleveland, Toronto. I don't know how much about Houston because they just need top-end talent. But Cleveland has a decent core with, I think, Garland, Okoro, Allen, I guess, depending on how you feel about that. Toronto, you know they have a good core because they won a title with them 2 years ago. Obviously, a lot of roster changes since then, but I just think that they are teams that could be looking to trade back if there's the right package presented to them by a couple of the teams that we're going to talk about later that have multiple picks in the first round. And I think Toronto is a prime candidate for that at the four spot.
And you mentioned Malachi Flynn potentially losing some of his value that he really added towards the end of last season. What do you think of maybe Gary Trent and Toronto maybe letting him go and not giving him the money that he may get elsewhere?
That's a good question, and I'm glad that you brought that up.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I believe Powell was the unrestricted free agent. Gary Trent is a restricted free agent. So Toronto can match.
Correct.
If they choose to. Now, I think this does impact Gary Trent. But again, I don't think Gary Trent was a cornerstone to any dynasty franchises that's a huge deal. But I do think there's a situation where Toronto decides just to not keep Gary Trent in favor of giving those minutes to a Jalen Suggs.
Because I only say that because I saw a scenario, and I think Toronto probably would have done something in the offseason, but if Toronto did retain that seventh pick that they were projected to get,
yeah,
and they're not able to fill that point guard. Maybe Fred VanVleet moves to the point guard because
and
he's very
Trent
capable
starts
to
the
play there.
Two. Yeah.
And Trent could be getting 30 minutes
yeah.
as the starter there. Whereas now, if either they don't retain him or they do keep him, he's probably back down to that 25 to 28 minute range off the bench. And that can definitely affect a guy's value.
So Gary Trent on the season was 148th and played 31 minutes a game. So he's 148th overall, playing 31 minutes a game. He's only 22. I would guess that's high. Those minutes are going to be high for him.
I could see 31 minutes for him, though, next year if Toronto wasn't going to draft a guard.
And maybe we were overthinking this because, like you said, Fred VanVleet could play the point, and so maybe Malachi Flynn is the fourth guard on the depth or the fifth guard on the depth chart, whatever that is. And it's Fred VanVleet, Jalen Suggs, or Jalen Green, whoever, and then Fred VanVleet, Gary Trent. And maybe that's how it goes. And Malachi Flynn is a bigger loser than what we think. But I think these guys, unless you have very strong feelings one way or another, where it's like Malachi Flynn's going to be buried on the depth chart, I need to get off of him. Gary Trent's going to blow up, I need to get a hold of him. If you have those strong of feelings, we're not going to be able to tell you any different. But there's definitely some situations where they could be bought or sold depending on the price that you're being offered. If you're in a league with a Toronto fan and they just want to rack up all the Raptors, see what they're going to offer you. If you can get a first round pick for Gary Trent or Malachi Flynn, probably just going to go ahead and do it. Kick that can down the road a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And Toronto, just, I just can't believe that they got that fortunate. They have one down season and boom, they get the fourth pick.
I hate it so much as a Pacers fan.
Right. It's unbelievable, but hey, that's the lottery for you. Gotta love it.
Yeah, they definitely could use some good fortune. They haven't had any luck in the last couple of years with any moves or anything. So they've just been terrible forever, right? They just needed a top four pick. Basketball gods. But yeah, that's the top four. I don't think there's anything crazy in there. I do think there's a chance Mobley slips to four, which could be looked back on as crazy if he ends up being the second best player in the draft, but we also know how the league values perimeter players. So people have been asking me for betting tips, and I always get asked, who you got, Suns or Clippers, Devin Booker or Paul George for points? And I'll tell you what I tell them. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on. And that's why I tell people to bet with MyBookie. MyBookie's reputation is rock solid. They've got the best odds, contests, and promotions in the business. And they're the only place I trust to handle my NBA-related bets and the one sports book that's guaranteed to give me the best lines for the NBA playoff games. I don't give my stamp of approval out easily. I don't give it to just anybody. To earn it, you have to be the best at what you do, and MyBookie is the best sports book out there, period. It's very, very simple. Sign up. Enter promo code HOOPBALL, that's H-O-O-P-B-A-L-L, and get your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. Head over to MyBookie if you want to add a little excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Bet with the best. Bet with MyBookie. Now we're going to transition into the teams who have multiple first-round picks, and that is the Orlando Magic, the Oklahoma City Thunder, Golden State Warriors, and then the Orlando Magic, courtesy of your Chicago Bulls. So starting off, pick, got him. Pick number five, Orlando. What do you think?
So Orlando's, I think they're sad. I mean, I know they have two picks inside the top 10, but if you look at this draft, they're a definite loser. I mean, they had...
This was worst case scenario.
It definitely was. Yeah, they had the opportunity to be inside that top three or even top four. Because in my eyes, and I think in most analysts' eyes, there's a clear top four players. And then that fifth spot, it starts to get, well, maybe team fit or the upside. There's a lot of different variables as more than just taking best available player, because we don't really have that starting at pick five. The consensus is Kuminga. They're coming in. He's a guy that really showed a lot of athleticism in the G League, but maybe not so much production was there. with Orlando, I think the best thing that happened to Orlando is from a dynasty perspective and getting that fifth pick is if you own an Orlando guard, you have to be somewhat
Woo!
happy
Boy, am I.
with them not being in that top four and the guards that are up there. So if you own Fultz, Hampton, Cole Anthony, congratulations because you did catch a little bit of a break here. I definitely think with both those picks, they're going to go with wings. They need wings on that team. All they really have is Okiki. They have a good front court. They have some young guys in the front court, and they have some young guys at the point guard position and shooting guard position. They need to add wings to that team, and I think that's the direction they're going to go.
This was probably, I don't want to say worst case scenario, but darn near worst case scenario for Orlando because they had as good of a chance as getting the first pick as they did getting the fifth pick. I believe that's how that math checks out, which is just heartbreaking for a team who decided to bottom out at the trade deadline, trade everybody away, had the third best odds, and then dropped down to five. But it is best case scenario, like Travis said, for anybody who owned any Orlando Magic player from this past season because of the talent at the top of the draft and the positions that they played. Like he said, if you have Anthony Fultz or Hampton, like I sent out trades with RJ Hampton in them at leading up to the lottery because I was like, I need to get off of him because he's going to lose all that value when Jalen Green comes in and takes all of his minutes. I also have Wendell Carter Jr. sitting there sweating bullets because Evan Mobley could be in an Orlando Magic uniform and then has that like tanks all the other bigs on the roster. But that didn't happen. And Jonathan Kuminga is exactly the kind of player that Orlando likes and the exact player they should take. This is a pretty, it is worst case scenario for them because the consensus is dropping from a top, from a five player draft to a four player draft. But for what the Magic need, as far as a roster goes, Kuminga's like they might have taken him four. If they liked their guards that much, they might have just taken Kuminga. And so I'm excited to see what Orlando does if they stay at five, but also knowing they have five and eight, they could, and they need that top-end talent. Like we said, like I don't know how you feel about RJ Hampton, Cole Anthony, Wendell Carter Jr., Mo Bamba, as far as at, like true starting above average starters in the league. But Orlando has the motivation and the means, in my opinion, to trade up and get one of those, maybe three or four.
They do. The potential's there. I think they would definitely have to package five and eight
Yes.
to move up. And I'm trying to think of one of those teams that would potentially move down. Maybe Cleveland, maybe wants they're happy with what they have currently and want a little bit more depth
I
on
think
that team
Toronto is
or a couple chances.
a much better candidate to do so because they have their core figured out. They could get Scotty Barnes at five and then get, you know, whoever they like at eight, grab a big at eight if they want to.
So yeah, it's a trade's a definite possibility. I don't see it. I think Orlando is really deprived of top-end talent, and they're going to take as many chances as they can get to find players for the future. And they have, if you go through their roster, and from a dynasty perspective, they have some pretty useful players. From an NBA perspective, they're somewhat underwhelming. They or a lot of these guys have been just underwhelming in their career. Markelle Fultz. Wendell Carter Jr. Both guys are young, but not what you thought they were going to be when they were drafted in the league. So Orlando definitely needs the talent. The only guy that I really see potentially being hurt by this is a guy me and you both were selling on anyway, and that's Chuma Okeke. We knew he wasn't going to get the run that he was getting towards the end of last season. Specifically for this reason, the Magic needed wings. And they're gonna take. I'd be shocked if they didn't take two wing players in this draft.
I agree. I know they have Isaac and that matters a lot, but we also know, first off, the player type that the Orlando Magic draft is Jonathan Kuminga because they just take a wing player that has ridiculous body dimensions and is somewhere between 6'6 and 6'10, and then they just hope for the best. And I mean, I don't blame them at all. So I agree. I think they end up staying at 5 and 8. It'd probably take, if Kuminga is their pick at 5, I think that's a great pick. I don't think that they would have any problem with that at all. If they somehow get one of the other four, the four top players, if Scotty Barnes somehow goes 4 to Toronto and they can get Jalen Suggs at 5, I think that's a no-brainer as well, and that changes the math a little bit on the rest of those guards for the Magic. But I don't think there's any doubt that while this isn't ideal for the Magic, it could be worse. They could be at 6 in a 4 to 5 player draft, and then you're really kicking yourself for how your terrible luck.
I think the biggest thing is that they do have 2 picks inside the top 10.
Yeah.
So that's something to take solace from, I guess. But if I'm a Magic fan, I'm pretty disappointed overall.
It's not great. Just wipe your tears with 5 and 8. How about that? Like, I'm sitting over here at 13. Trav will gladly take that number 8 pick back if you don't want it.
Yeah, but absolutely.
Speaking of teams that just have multiple picks, this team is ridiculous, and yet they're probably the biggest losers of the entire draft, and that is the OKC Thunder, who slid back to 6. It's kind of funny to me because they had the 4th worst odds. So they were up there, but I think it's kind of poetic in a way that they treated this last season the way they did, and they ended up not winning the lottery, and they ended up sliding back to number 6 in a 4 to 5 player draft.
I think they're disappointed, but they're also like, we'll try again next year.
Right. And the year after that.
So,
and the year after that.
They're disappointed, but they definitely have a lot of firepower in this draft. There's no doubt in the future drafts. They have a ton of picks. And that's something we've talked about with this team, is nobody's spot is safe other than SGA. If you own any Thunder player, I don't see how you can be confident in any of them other than SGA. And that goes for some really upside players like Bazley or Poku. Poku's a name that's just been trending up in every startup draft I've seen. I've seen a lot of trades with him involved that I'm just like, really? Is Poku that valued in your league? And it seems to be that way.
Yeah.
That just a lot of teams are really gravitate towards him due to that potential that he does have. And granted, he does have a ton of upside. From a fantasy perspective, his game could be massive.
Pretty ridiculous.
But man, it just makes me so nervous with Oklahoma City Thunder having so many picks, so many opportunities to bring in talent and bring in competition. If I had Poku, I would be trading him right now for some value that I can get out of him before he even reaches that potential or bust.
I would probably hold on Poku for this year specifically, because OKC has 6, 16, and 18. The players they get at those picks, and they have a lot of roster needs, like we talked about. They've got SGA, Dort, Kemba now, but they're not going to have Kemba when the season starts, I would guess. Bazley, Poku, and then Isaiah Roby. That's a roster that needs help everywhere. And I feel like they use the picks on guys like Poku, and so they will try to develop them while they don't have an immediate replacement for them, which I think is the case this year. I would imagine they take, I think a couple of mocks have them taking Scotty Barnes at 6, or like Franz Wagner, Davion Mitchell, you know, anything like that. But I think Poku can play with just about any of them. And I think this is the year where if you picked up Poku just out of like obligation, because okay, he's got a ridiculous fantasy ceiling, don't know if I really trust him, this is the year that you hold, he's going to play. And you hope that there are those glimpses of upside that make somebody really come over and overwhelm you, because I agree. They have so many picks that it's hard for me to see them making anybody on that team a priority other than SGA, like you said. But if they were to make somebody else, I think Poku would be second, just because of how unique he is and how flexible it seems like he can be playing with anybody else on the floor.
And they had a lot of useful players last year. I mean, Maledon was really good last year with SGA being hurt.
Yeah.
Dort had some solid moments. I found myself picking up Kenrick Williams.
Yep.
A lot when he was getting close to 30 minutes and somewhat useful. So they did have a lot of useful players next year. Just be ready for the following season coming next year after this draft for there to be a completely new set of players that are going to be useful throughout the season and be on that waiver wire for those of you that do like to have a rotational spot.
And that's not a bad thing at all. But I think the most interesting team in the lottery this year is our next one and last one. And that's the Golden State Warriors, who took the Minnesota Timberwolves pick this year at 7, which isn't as good as it could have been. But I think they'll take Andrew Wiggins and the number 7 pick for D'Angelo Russell. I would do that deal. And they also have 14. So my question to you, do they even keep those picks?
The word out of the Golden State camp sounds like they are absolutely going to shop those picks. They are trying to win now. They don't want to spend time trying to develop players when they can use that draft capital to get a player to help them now. They think their window of opportunity is still wide open, and I tend to agree with them. When you have a player like Steph Curry on your team, you have to go for it now. Granted, they've been blessed. That franchise has been blessed with the championships that they've won already, but they still see that window being open, and they got this capital to use. They got some players on their team that they could move as well. Maybe an Oubre sign and trade or a Wiggins trade. They have the salaries to match and bring in a big time player. So these picks, to me, I think they're going to just try and find a deal that suits their team and just throw these picks along with it.
I could not agree more. I think it would be borderline irresponsible for the Warriors to just take these picks. Because this team, they need to win like right this second. This year, I think Curry's a free agent next year, maybe the year after. But
it is next year.
Yeah,
after this season. Yep.
They need to win. They're getting Clay back. They already have Draymond. They've got Curry. Like, that's the big three. We saw how much Wiseman struggled last year, and we talked about it in our previous episode. Oubre did not pick up that system well. It's not a system that's for everybody. And with bringing in two rookies and hoping that they can contribute on that team, I just don't see that as an option, especially with a pick like number 7 that can get you a really good player. We've talked about it being a 4 or 5 player draft. That's for stars. That's for top-end talent. But I feel like from 5, depending on how you feel about Jonathan Kuminga, through 10, it's a pretty solid draft with guys that are going to be good. Maybe not great, but good. And I think that teams will want to get – they'll value that number 7 pick.
Yeah, there's a lot of players in this draft that have a lot of talent. And like every draft, I mean, they try to project. And there's a lot of guys in here that project to be a starter caliber player in the NBA. And like you mentioned, that 7th pick is just super valuable. It would be somewhat of a shame for Golden State to have to take a player. I've seen Davion Mitchell being a great fit for them, an older player coming into the league, a guy that kind of fits that mold, ball handler, good defender. But do you really want to take a guy like that this high? Not that I have anything against Davion Mitchell. I think he's a good player. He's a really solid player.
Baylor grad.
Yep. Sick him. But I don't think they want to do that.
No.
They don't have money. They don't have any cap room to play with. So what can they do? They have to basically ship a player out and bring a player in that matches the salary. And in order to do that, they may have to attach a pick to it.
And the salary is the only reason why them keeping these picks makes any sense. And it's because they're a very low salary, cost controlled for a while. And we just talked about how they can be some starter level players in that area, and definitely rotation level players. I think there's just a really big difference to me between, oh yeah, you're a rotation player for the Pacers, for the Spurs, for the Hornets, and oh, you're a rotation level player for the Warriors. That the expectations there are so different, and I think that there's a lot of players in here who they will be rotation level players. I just don't think the Warriors should take that chance that they don't quite come along as fast as they'd like.
And if you look at what the Warriors did last year, by and large, Steph had an incredible season and they were still a very mediocre team.
Not good.
You can't tell me that Klay Thompson, while a great player, replacing a guy like Kelly Oubre is going to bump them up the standings or make them that much better of a team.
No.
They're not going to get that much better having a
Plus some
healthy
small
Klay back.
development from Wiseman. Okay, great. Not that big of an
But
impact.
by and large, I think they look at this roster and say, we need to do something. Our window of opportunity is right now. What can we do? Who can we go out and get and make this team a top four seed in the West?
So we're talking a lot about the Warriors as a team and all of that. And the reason that is there's a lot of uncertainty with whether or not they even keep this pick. If these picks, I should say, if they do keep these picks, I don't think it impacts anybody on the roster that's actually worth rostering in standard dynasty leagues. And third, if they end up trading a Wiggins and the 7 and the 14 for Beal, let's just throw that. That's the name people are going to want to attach to it. That doesn't change anybody else's value either, really. We saw Steph and KD both be top five fantasy players playing together. We know what Steph is as a player, as an off-ball mover, as an off-ball player. And Draymond is going to facilitate. He's going to do what he does on the offensive end, and he's going to get steals and blocks on the defensive end. Klay's going to come in and splash if he's healthy. Hopefully he comes back from injury because he's just a fun player to watch. And Steph's value clearly isn't going to be impacted by anybody they bring in if it's not going to be impacted by Kevin Durant. And if Kevin Durant can come in and be top five, then I'm sure Bradley Beal's impact is going to be just fine. So that's like, there's not much to take away dynasty-wise from them having these picks. I will say, Wiseman has the most to gain from this offseason, more than any other player on the Warriors, simply because I think his value goes up if he gets moved somewhere else.
And I was just about to say, I think Wiseman, out of all these players, might have the most to lose.
Ooh.
And that's if he doesn't get moved, if they utilize these picks to bring in a center and maybe they move a guy like Wiggins out for salary match purposes and retain Wiseman in whatever deal they make. And now he's relegated to a similar role to last year, just coming off the bench, having limited minutes. Again, not going to affect his dynasty value because
It shouldn't.
those of you that drafted Wiseman, you saw the talent he has last year. He just needs to put it all together. And I think he eventually will. But if you're looking next year for him to make a big jump, that potentially they could bring in a guy like Miles Turner
Yeah.
or I don't see how they can sign anybody really, but they
No.
can bring a guy in via trade to fill that five spot for them. And potentially affect Wiseman a little bit if he isn't moved out in that deal.
That's true. That's a good point. I think I would not be shocked at all if there's a trade between the Pacers and the Warriors. I'm hoping that that's the case because even though the Pacers hired Rick Carlisle, there's still a lot of roster moves that need to be made. But we can get into that when the time comes. Right now, I want to thank everybody for coming on to listen. If you wouldn't mind, please go give us 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast from, that would help us out a lot. Leave a rating, leave a review. We'd love to hear from you. Positives, negatives, whatever, something you think we can do better. And if you have any questions, please feel free to hit me up on Twitter at @Rhett_Bauer. That's at @RHETT_BAUER. I would be more than happy to take any of your questions about individual players, drafts, trades, anything like that. Always have time. We've got a lot of stuff coming out for HoopBall. Hoop-ball.com, daily fantasy coverage, redraft coverage. The Fantasy NBA Today show by Dan Bespris is one of the best out there. Constant episodes always coming out. Great articles coming out. There's just a lot of good stuff. Please go check it out and let us know what you think. Trav, do you have anything else?
This is just the tip of the iceberg for our draft coverage, by the way. We're going to have a lot more content coming out based on the draft. So it is something I love. This is one of my favorite parts of the year. I watch a ton of college hoops. I'm a big college basketball guy as well. So just seeing these players, seeing where they go, and the talent that they have, it's something that I feel I'm pretty knowledgeable about. So I'm really looking forward to the draft, and I'm looking forward to the combine and all that good stuff that leads up to it. So we will be having a ton more content on draft coverage and the effect that these players may have.
And this offseason is not even really started yet. We've still got playoff basketball going on. There's going to be a lot more transactions, moves, draft. Everything's going to impact dynasty value, and we're going to be here to break it all down for you. So I hope you look forward to that. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.